I'm preaching to the children this morning. And the parents are going to just listen in. And here's the question. Faith and hope. Just a minute. Come here. Here's the question for you to answer while we go through this story. When you know the answer, raise your hand. Okay. When did God stop being God in this story? I'm going to read. You going to go get your Bible? Okay, hurry. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, he had just taught about the parable of the sower. When he sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part or the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, if you start in chapter 1 of Mark, and you come up to this story, he had cast out evil spirits. He rebuked a fever in Peter's mother-in-law. He had healed many people that they brought to him while he was at Peter's house, that were sick of different diseases. He had healed a leper. The leper came to him and said, Lord, if thou wilt, if you will, you can make me whole. And the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion and said, I will, be thou whole. Now the disciples had heard all of this and they had seen all of this before they got on the boat to go over to the other side. They had seen Jesus heal a man who had palsy. You know the story. There was no room to get into the house, and the men that loved this man had brought him on his own bed, and they were carrying him, and they couldn't get in the house. So what did they do? Went up on the roof and they tore up the roof, moved all of the shingles back, and then they let him down on through the roof with ropes. Now, they had seen this. They had seen him cast out devils. They had seen him heal the sick. They had seen him heal the man with palsy. They had heard him say, what did he say to the man with palsy before he healed him? Craig? I mean, Kevin? Go, your sins are forgiven. Who can forgive sins? Jesus. Who is Jesus? Hope. He's the Son of God. Jesus is God. Nobody can forgive sins but God. They had seen this happen. They saw him heal a man in the church house who had a withered hand. Chapter 3, verse 11 says, and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. He had given the disciples power to heal sickness and power to cast out devils. Chapter 3, verse 15. Now this is what they knew about him. This is what they saw themselves. If you saw somebody heal the sick, heal the leper, you saw somebody yourself say, "I forgive you of your sins," who would you think he was? Jesus. God. Why? Only God can forgive sins. Okay? Now, he taught the parable of the sower. I was there at the reported place that he taught the parable and that he fed the multitude. And I was there the day the Marine barracks was bombed in Beirut. And if you saw this man do this, you would know that he was God. A leper comes up and says, "Lord." Number one, there's nobody else in the whole nation that allowed people to call him Lord. But he didn't have a problem with that because he was. "Lord, if you will, you can heal my leprosy." And the Lord said, "I will. Be thou made whole." And he was healed. So they believed that he was God. They believed Jesus was God. Now, in the story we read, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's get on this boat and let's go over to the other side." Now, who is Jesus? He's God. Okay, now if God says we're going to get on a boat and the boat's going to the other side, what do we have substance to believe? What do we have evidence to believe? What do we have reason to believe? If God says this boat's going over to the other side, what can we believe? Casey? That it's going to be safe. That he said it would go to the other side, and if he said it would go to the other side, what can we believe? That it will go to the other side. All right? Now, Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Now, before the story is over, the disciples are afraid, they are dying. They're going to drown. Now, if God says the boat's going over, and you think he's God that said the boat's going over, but now you think the boat's not going over and that you're going to drown, when did God stop being God? Jonas, that is a good answer. He says, never. But to the disciples, something happened somewhere that made them think, Kevin? He wasn't worried about them? Nope. Okay, Jessica? Huh? When the storm hit, had something to do with it? When the disciples felt like they were going to die, to the disciples, Jesus stopped being God. Because only God can heal the palsied man, only God can forgive sins, and only God could say, "This boat's going over to the other side, no matter how stormy it gets, whether it's stormy or not stormy, if God says it's going over, it's going over." How do we know that? Numbers 23:19. That's way back in the first of the Bible, but it says it so many, many times, in many different ways all the way through the Bible. God is not a man that he can lie. If has he not said and will he not do? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See? Nothing is what? With God. Nothing is too difficult, the prophet says. And then the angel of the Lord said to Mary, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, here's the thing. Kids, you guys hear your parents talking all the time about things that we're facing as a nation. What's going to happen? What if this? And what if that? And what if the worst thing happens? And I want to ask you, when is God going to stop being God?
Never.
Never. Were you going to give another answer? Never. God's never going to stop being God. What could the disciples have done on the boat when it's full of water? And just ask yourself, all right, Kevin, they could have believed. Well, what about the water, Kevin? The boat's filling up with water, and the boat's fixing to go under the water, it looks like. What could they have done then? Same answer. They could have believed. They could have believed. Well, what about when the winds got so high that all of those fishermen who were very experienced and had gone through storms before, and they now believe they're going to die, what could they have done then? Believed. Jessica, were you going to say believed? Have faith. They could have faith. Does the water coming into the boat change God from being God? No. Do the storm clouds that are so black and the wind that's blowing so hard, I don't know, has anybody here in this room been on a lake in a fierce storm? Anybody? Angela? Rough. Okay, but you weren't even on deck. Right? Were you? What happened? Okay. Sliding around and everything? Okay. There's a family, friends of ours in Africa on Lake Naivasha one day, and they were, everything was going nice, and they were fishing, and they just saw some clouds coming up, and the daddy just said, I'm not going to take a chance on this, because they were on the opposite side of the lake, and he got the fishing gear in, pulled the anchor, and they took off, and they got overtaken, and they thought they were going to die. They couldn't see from the back of the boat to the front of the boat. The wind was blowing so hard. Water, it was just like a solid sheet. And they couldn't see. If you can't see from the back of the boat to the front of the boat, how do you know you're going in the right direction? Where's land? Am I fixing to run up on land? Do you slow down or do you hurry? See? You don't know what to do. At what point does God stop being God? When you can't see? No. When you don't know where land is? No. And they experienced this. They couldn't see. They didn't know if they were going in the right direction or not. They didn't know if they were about to crash or not. They could not see. And to them, it changed everything. Before they got on the boat, they believed Jesus was God. Because they saw Him heal the sick. They heard Him say, thy sins be forgiven thee. They saw Him say to a man with a withered hand, stretch forth your hand. They saw that. They were talking to each other. They said, this is God. And then God said to them, believers who believed He was God, the Son of God, He said to them, let's get on this boat and let's cross over to the other side. Substance for faith. What is substance? Help me up. It's what? Ingredients? Okay? But I mean, you can see it. Right? It's reality. You can see it. You can feel it. If you were going to offer some... the other part of that is it's evidence of things not seen. You're going to the court, you're going to prove somebody's guilty, and you're going to give evidence. Can you just describe something and it be evidence? No. They want to put a tag on it. And they want to call it Exhibit A or Exhibit B. And you put a tag on it. And if it's substance, it's something you can hold in your hand. If it's substance, it's something that you hope so. No. You know. If it's substantial, you know. And that's a good synonym. If you hadn't already learned that word, you will. What's synonym? A word that means the same thing as another word is a synonym for that word. Give me an example. Okay? Tiny and little. Little is a synonym for tiny. Okay? Substance is a synonym for faith. Knowing is a synonym for faith. Mom and Daddy, faith is never a leap in the dark. Faith is never writing a check and believing that God is obligated to have the money in the bank by the time the check gets to the bank. No, it's not. That's a leap in the dark, and it's not substance for faith. Now, if God told you, you're walking with God, you've got a relationship with God, you've got an intimacy with God, you know God, He knows you, you know His voice, and He says to you, you go ahead and write that check. I'll have it covered by the time it gets to the bank. You have substance for faith. God said it in a recognizable way. I'm His sheep. I know His voice. And you can go to the bank with that. You can go to the merchant with that. But not just think it up. One ministry, I could tell you the name of it, fell in ill repute in its town because it was a faith ministry, a faith school, because so many of the students wrote checks to merchants in the town and the checks bounced, and when they talked to them about it, they said, well, we had faith that when that check got to the bank, the money would be there. That's a leap in the dark, and faith is never a leap in the dark. Now, the boat got in the dark, and they couldn't see, and what they could see was a boat full of water. And they gave up. And all of a sudden, Jesus wasn't God anymore. He didn't care anymore. Does God care? But this Jesus they had on that boat didn't care. What changed Him? Circumstances, Mom and Daddy. Things you can see changed Him. It happens every day. You think you can circumvent national crisis with your pantry? No, sir. You can't do it. You think God's going to let us rely on material things and save ourselves through our ingenuity and our planning? Do you think that He's going to do that? No, sir. He's not going to do that. He will be God in our life. He is jealous to be God in our children's lives. If we're never going to have time for intimacy with God, if we're never going to have time to have a real walk with God, to be the man in the neighborhood that the neighbors know that when I have the need and when my baby's got fever and when mama gets cancer, I can go down there. That man knows God. He can touch God. If we're never going to have time to be that, God wants our children to be that. And He's not going to let them be robbed of the opportunity to be that. Just like when the older generation wouldn't have faith and wouldn't go into the promised land, He said, "All right, but I'm going to have your children." And they all died in the wilderness, but a whole new generation grew up and went across Jordan into the promised land. A wave, a boat full of water, a high wind, a black cloud does not change God from being God. Look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 7. Same question. When did God stop being God to the rich young ruler? Okay? Now watch this. Watch this. And when he was gone forth into the way, verse 17, did I tell you that? There came one running and kneeling to him, and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God." Okay, now, are you seeing what's happening here? This man's called the rich young ruler. And he sees Jesus, and he runs up to him, and he falls down upon his knees, and he says, "What must I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus wanted to be sure that this rich young ruler knew that he was not just a rabbi, that he was not just a teacher or a prophet, but that he was who? That he was God. And how did he do it? Here's the way he did it. He did it. The rich young ruler said, "Good master." And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There's only one that's good, and that's God." What's he saying? He's saying, "Are you calling me God? Are you calling me God? Are you calling Jesus God, Daddy? Mama? Are you calling Jesus God, Grandpa? Grandma? Are you calling Jesus God? What is it can happen that's going to stop Jesus from being God before your children?" What is it that you can see? What is it that you can feel that's going to make you act like Jesus is not God anymore? To the rich young ruler, he's saying, "I am God. There's none good but God." He didn't deny being God, and the rich young ruler didn't deny that he was God. Okay? Now, God, what does that mean? We've learned four specific things here. Who God is. Can any of you children tell me who God is? Who is God? Who is God? Nicholas wants to answer. He had his hand up. Who is God? Charity? Jessica, the reason I didn't call on you is because you hadn't been here. although I'd faint if you got the right answer, and not having been here, and I don't want to faint. He's the Holy Spirit. We've learned four specific things who God is. God is... Jennifer? All wisdom, all love, all power, and all knowledge. Okay. God is that. Always has been that. Always will be that. That's not all that He is. But instead of just thinking God, we're thinking He's all wisdom. That's as far as I need to go usually. He's all wise. What's going to happen? Oh, this is going to happen and this might happen. This might. Who's God? He's all wise. Is something going to change God from being God? Might for you if you don't believe, Kevin said. When they stopped believing, Jessica said, when they stopped having faith, He stopped being God, as far as they were concerned. Now, Jesus is saying, this rich young ruler asked Him a question, what do I have to do? What can I do to inherit eternal life? And He called Him good master. And He said, now wait a minute, if you're calling me good master, that means I'm God. And He had no problem with it. He didn't get up and walk off. He didn't get up and say, oh, the very idea, this guy's trying to tell me he's God. No, he agreed with that. And here's what God, all wisdom, all knowledge, all power, and all love, told him in answer to his question. Thou knowest the commandments. Verse 19, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he, probably very excited, he answered and said, Master, all these things I have observed from my youth. He was so proud to be able to say that. I would have been too, because that's God. And to be able to tell God that you always had done what He just got through saying for you to do, that would be a wonderful moment. See, at that moment, God was still God to the rich young ruler. Now, Jesus, beholding him, that means looking on him, Jesus looking on him loved him. He was so sincere. He was so happy. He was so moral. Oh, what a lesson, friends. Being moral is not the same thing as being a Christian. Being moral is not the same thing as being a believer. Being moral is not the same thing as having faith. And Jesus looked on him and loved him and said, one thing that you lack. There's one thing that you need to do. He said, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And the rich young ruler was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He had, what does that mean, he had great possessions, Luke? He was rich. Luke, you just got 3 goats. He had 3,000 goats. And he had a bunch of men to take care of them. I mean, he wasn't taking care of 3,000 goats. He paid them to take care of them. And he had other stuff. He had land. He had a big house. He had camels. He had horses. He had servants. He was worth a lot of money. And that man just said to him, sell all of it and give all the money to the poor. Who was that man that said that? Who's Jesus? Who's God? All power, all wisdom, all love, and all knowledge. That's who God is. Now, He's more. He's more. I'm not saying He's not more. He's all justice. He's holy. He is eternal. He is good. So the guy was right. Good, Master. He is everywhere at one time. Omnipresent. He's everywhere at one time. So He's more than that. But what we're doing is we're learning to not just say the word God, but to think all wisdom, all knowledge, all power, and all love. Now, wait a minute. If you were rich and you knew that God had eternal life for you and that God was all wise, what did it mean to be all wise, Craig? All wisdom. I mean, that's hard to answer, so I'm just kind of helping you see how hard it is to answer. What does it mean, all wisdom? Is there any more? If you got all wisdom, is there some wisdom that you don't have? No, you got all wisdom. If you got all knowledge, is there some you don't know? No. If you have all love, is there something you may not do that's right for that person that you love? No. If you've got all wisdom, you've got all knowledge, you've got all love, the person that's being talked to should be excited about the answer, regardless of what it is. The rich young ruler should have said, man, I would have never thought about selling all I had and giving to the poor and coming and following you without any money, taking up my cross. I would have never thought about that. I'm so glad I had the opportunity to come and talk to the one who is all wise, who is all love. Because I'd have never done that on my own. I would have thought it was foolish and ridiculous. But all of a sudden, Jesus wasn't God anymore to the rich young ruler. How do we know? Because He walked off sad. Material things was everything to him. Now, material things aren't everything to us because we don't have any. If the Lord wanted me to give $100, I'd be glad to give $100. Now, Luke 18:1. We say that we believe that Jesus is coming soon. Luke 18:1 is the story of the widow who wasn't getting treated right. And here's the way He introduces this story. And He spake, Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, you have one alternative to prayer. This is the book. I'm not making this up. You have one alternative to prayer. What is it? To faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Cease from prayer and what? You'll faint. You will not endure. What did Jesus pray for Peter? That his faith would not fail. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary, or exercise justice. You have the right to do that. Exercise justice in my behalf. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will exercise justice on her behalf, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them. He will exercise justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, God is under authority. He's under the authority of who he is. He's under the authority of righteousness. He can't do wrong. Shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? That judge was under authority. That's why he had the authority to avenge her and to exercise justice for her. And God has the authority to exercise justice for you. And yet, in the day that we live, God looked down, Jesus looked down through time, and he said, when the Son of Man comes, it's going to be hard to find faith, rare to find faith. Now, he didn't say rare to hear faith preaching, rare to hear faith teaching, but he said rare to find faith. Now, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. All of this fits together. Don't lose me. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. This is where he had healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law from fever and many people that they brought to him. Verse 34 says, he healed many that were sick of different diseases and cast out many devils and did not allow the devils to speak because they knew who he was. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, a place where nobody else was, and there he prayed. Jesus prayed to the Father. Why does Jesus, if he's God, have to pray to the Father? It's because he laid aside advantage of being God and lived his life in dependence on God as a man. He didn't do anything God didn't tell him to do. He didn't say anything God didn't tell him to say. And so to know what God wanted him to do and to know what God wanted to say, he had to pray. He had faith, referred to many times in the epistles, the faith of Jesus Christ. How did he have faith? Because he lived in the Word of God, he was the Word of God, and he prayed. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The only person that will endure that process is the person that believes that he's all wisdom, all knowledge, all power, and all love. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If ye abide in me, and my word abides in you, ye shall ask what ye will. 1 John 2:14 says, the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. When does God stop being God? In Matthew 13, verse 58, it says, and he did not many mighty works in Nazareth because of their unbelief. Although he was God, and he went to Nazareth, look at this. He couldn't heal people, but he was God. Why couldn't he heal people? Because of their unbelief. See? Why couldn't God be God to the disciples on the boat? Why couldn't he be God to the disciples on the boat? You already answered this once. Their unbelief. Their unbelief. Y2K is coming. War everywhere. The prophets say that God's going to send judgment on America. I agree. What are we going to do? What's going to happen? What if the lights go out? What if there's war on our land? What if people get killed? Does that stop God from being God? No, sir. Now watch this. Watch this. This is important. This is some of what I skipped, but in the book of Acts you can go and read there, and you read that they put Peter in jail. Remember that? What happened? The church prayed. Is that what you were going to say? The church prayed, and what happened? God sent an angel, shook the jail, woke Peter up, took him out, sent him down the street to the prayer meeting. He was free. Hallelujah! God was God. Oh, but you know what happened a couple of days before? James was in the same jail and Herod cut his head off. God set Peter free and didn't set James free. Was God still God to James? Yes. James died in the faith. James took the better route. Because to be absent from the body is to... Who said that? To be what? Okay. To be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, unless you got a whole lot of things going on here that you love so much that you don't want to go see Jesus right now, then that won't bother you if you die. When war comes, some people are going to die. And some people are going to be spared. Because God has purposes. He had a reason that He spared Peter and didn't spare James. But James made God look good by trusting Him and not complaining. Now, we go on and we could read stories about a man named Stephen. Stephen, and there was Philip. We don't read about Philip getting stoned. Philip, God picked him up over here and wanted him over here and just transported him. He didn't even have to walk or ride a horse. He just carried him through the air to the place where he wanted him. But Stephen, just for preaching the truth to his brothers in his nation, they stoned him and he died. And it said when he died, he called him a man full of the Holy Ghost. And he died. Did that mean God wasn't God? No. 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 Hallelujah. God is God. Remember that old song, He's God of the Mountain? I don't know the words, but He's God all over the earth. He's God in the fiery furnace. He's God in the lion's den. He's God in the valley. He's God at the graveside. Amen? Now, God stops being God when it's unbelief. God stops being God when there's pretense and hypocrisy. Matthew 15:21. That whole story about the Syrophoenician woman. I hope you'll bring this attention to this to your children. And if you don't get it when you read it, call me and I'll tell you what I'm talking about. He stops being God when we're drawn away from abiding in Him by our own lust. And there's something we want more at this moment than we want His presence. But whoever abides in Him sinneth not. 1 John 3:6. Matthew 19:26, with God all things are possible. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. God is God. When I'm well and when I'm sick, God is God if I live or if I die. God is God. If Y2K happens really bad or not at all, God is God. And He's not a better God if Y2K doesn't happen than He is if Y2K does happen. He's not a better God. He's not a better God if your mother does not die with cancer than He is if your mother does die with cancer. He's still God. He will see you through. He will help you. He loves you. God has high purposes that we can't even see. And He's going to work those purposes for His glory and for your good if you'll just trust Him. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. I love Him so. I love Him so. I love Him so. He's so good to me. Okay, stand with me. We're going to sing, God Will Take Care of You. And then we're going to be dismissed. God Will Take Care of You. G-H-F-E-F-G. Here it is. Amen. Yes, sir.
When did God stop being God to the little girl in Colorado?
Yeah. When did God stop being God to, what's her name? Casey. When did God stop being God to her? This man came into where she was eating lunch. He had a gun. And he said, does anybody here love God? And all she would have had to do is nothing. And she could have lived. But she loved God. And she stood up and she said, I do. And he killed her. Did God stop being God to Casey? No. Hallelujah. It's better to die that way. It's better to die in faith than to live in unbelief. It is. It is if you never have the house you want to have, if you never have the car you want to have, if you never have the status, if you never have for your children what you think you've got to have for them, it's better to live in faith, it's better to die in faith than to live in unbelief. Let's sing this great song. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Be His wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. There's a lot of boys and girls your ages that are already believing lies and saying, oh, I just can't live without rock music. I know God doesn't like rock music, and I know it's from hell. But all my friends, and if I don't know the words to these songs and I'm with them, they'll think I'm stupid. When you do that, God stopped being God. And you've believed a lie that tells you that you won't be all you're supposed to be if you don't disobey God. See? And you just apply that to all kind of things. We're the people that believe in God, and we love not the things of the world. We don't love the world, and we don't love the things of the world. But all my friends, everybody I know, they. Yeah, but not me. Why? Because I believe God. I believe God. And if I move into that He forbids, the end result of that will be what He didn't want for me. But if I'll stand alone in faith, He will take care of me, and the end result will glorify Him and bless me and bless my family. Verse 2. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangerous fears your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, over all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Sing it, children, you sing it with me. We're going to say, God will take care of me. God will take care of me through every day, over all the way. He will take care of me. God will take care of me. Parents, me. God will take care of me through every day, over all the way. He will take care of me. God.